And now, the Sandhills number one morning show. Mornings with the leader man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Baby, lay on back and relax. Kick your pretty feet up on my dash. No need to go nowhere fast. Let's enjoy right here where we at. Who knows where this road is supposed to lead? We got nothing but time. As long as you're right here next to me, everything's gonna be alright. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. So won't you ride with me, ride with me. See where this thing goes. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, if it's meant to be.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna lie. Cause I'm tired of the fake love. Show me what you're made of. Boy, make me believe.
Whoa, hold up, girl. Don't you know you're beautiful? And it's easy to see.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to Mornings with the Leader Man. My name is Brad LaDronca, filling in for Steve the Leader Man this morning. Alongside me, as always, is Moore County's one and only Mr. Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this triumphant Tuesday here in the sunny Sand Hills.
Weather for us today here in the Sand Hills, you are looking at a high of 68 degrees, sunny skies, not a cloud in sight. Lows dipping down this evening into the upper 30s. So if you got some sensitive plants out there, you may want to bring them inside for the night. Currently outside, it is 53 degrees. Winds coming out of the north at 8 miles per hour. Some rain chances starting to peak mid-late week. Thursday looks like it's going to be pretty much a washout. So plan the week accordingly. But in the meantime, get outside and enjoy that beautiful weather, fall weather that we got outside. Well, this morning we got ourselves a very special guest, Stephen, calling us from Washington, D.C. as your congressman-elect, Mr. Richard Hudson. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you. Wish I was in person.
I wish you were here, too, although it's a little dark and stuff here in the studio. We had a little bit of a issue Friday midway through our morning show, and I need to apologize to the listeners of Moore County for that. But it seems we had a little liberal squirrel that wanted to commit suicide on one of our transformers outside.
Oh, he did commit suicide.
He did commit suicide. Knocked out the power to the station there for a little while. We had to wait on Duke to come out and pop a new fuse in one of the transformers. So that's that. But Congressman, I wanted
Democrats are distraught all over the country. I guess that was a Democrat squirrel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a. We noticed it had a orange camouflage Harris Walz hat on. I guess he was trying to hunt or something. But I wanted to bring you on today because, you know, obviously the election was last week Tuesday. We still got some House races out there that have not been called yet. Looks like currently we're sitting at 214 to 205. I think they just called one race.
No, we hit 218 yesterday, right?
Did we hit 218?
Yeah.
Well, you've got two different organizations calling these races. You got Decision Desk and you got the AP. The AP is incredibly slow. I'm sure they're not biased. I'm sure there's no reason why they're being slow. But Decision Desk has called the House for Republicans. The AP is still showing 214 races.
Yeah, that I think that's what I was looking at was the AP then. Okay, so
that's the same AP that has not declared McCormick the winner of the Senate race in Pennsylvania, I believe, even though he is the winner.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, so where do we stand then? What are we looking at here for House gains? What kind of a majority are we going to have going forward, do you think, Congressman?
Well, as I said, AP's called 214 seats for Republicans. There's another six that we're sure we're going to win, like Colorado 8 is a Democrat-held seat in the northern suburbs of Denver. Yadira Caraveo, the Democrat incumbent, called Gabe Evans, our Republican candidate, last night to concede the race. AP still hadn't called it, but that's one of those six. So I'm confident we're at 220. There's a couple more races that I feel pretty good about. We're ahead in California. That would get us 222. And then there's another California race, California 13, John Duarte, a freshman Republican. He's ahead by just a few votes, by 1,000 votes. We think he can hang on, but it's really a true toss-up. There's a lot of votes. They've only counted about 60% of the ballots. So that one truly could go either way. If we win that one, we'd be at 223. So, you know, we're somewhere between 220, 223.
All right. So it looks like it's still going to be somewhat of a slim margin kind of going into it. So there's a report that came out that Representative Michael Waltz has been kind of tapped by Donald Trump to be a person within his cabinet, administration, what have you.
The National Security Advisor.
Yeah.
And then Elaine Stefanik is apparently going to be appointed our ambassador to the UN. So
I
know where you're going with this.
So is there any kind of concerns going forward that as Trump keeps tapping some of these House members, being razor thin margin already, is that going to be any kind of an issue kind of going forward that you possibly think of?
Well, it's a real concern. You know, if let's say we don't prevail in the those three seats I mentioned and we're sitting at a 220 seat majority, Waltz and Stefanik gone, that means we're at 218. If I miss my flight at RDU, we're at 217. Somebody's kid gets sick, we're at 216. Somebody gets the flu, we're at 215. You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
It is a concern. But the good news on a couple fronts, Stefanik has a ruby red Trump district in New York. New York has some of the tightest election laws for a special election for the House. The governor, once there's a vacancy, is required to call a primary within 82 to 90 days. So, you know, that is 3 months, but it's pretty tight. So, and then the timing on this, they both have kind of a staggered timing, probably because, you know, Waltz, as National Security Advisor, will not need Senate confirmation. So I assume he's gone on January 20th. At least Stefanik will require Senate confirmation, so it may take a few months. So if the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, calls a quick special election, maybe we can get Waltz's seat filled before Stefanik leaves.
That all being said, of course, you know, and it's great that we're going to have domination of both chambers and the White House after a long period of time of having to deal with, you know, these constraints, mainly in the Senate, but certainly also in the White House. So we've got this victory. We also don't have a lot of time. I mean, we've got 2 years at the most to get a lot of this stuff overturned and get the Trump train rolling at full speed down the tracks. What do you believe are the priorities of the House going in? And I assume it would include extending the tax cuts going forward. Is that a safe assumption?
Absolutely. You know, I believe President Trump has a mandate because, you know, Republicans campaigned on the issues. We talked about how America looked after Trump's presidency, where we had the best economy in a generation, we had a secure border, we had peace in the world, we had a military that was on the rebound, it was being rebuilt, and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden broke every single one of those aspects. Everyone in America is less prosperous and less safe because of their policies. So we have a mandate from the people to fix these things, and so renewing the Trump tax cuts, and President Trump has talked about even more tax cuts. So we'll see what his proposal is. So tax cuts is important. Unleashing American energy, another promise he's made. You know, what they've done to stifle energy has led to inflation, because if it costs more money to ship things and make things, then everything's more expensive. So you'll see energy policy coming out very quickly. Securing the border, huge priority for President Trump and House Republicans. I think you'll see a border bill very quickly. President Trump knows how to secure the border because he's done it before. So I think those are probably the three things out of the gate you'll see. But I'm also very interested in what Elon Musk is going to do to shrink the size of government. And, you know, there's a number of regulations record number of regulations put in place by the Biden-Harris administration that have just stifled small business. You know, I was talking to some small business folks over in Fayetteville yesterday, and they just talked about how, you know, that they haven't invested to grow their business because of the uncertainty created by these regulations.
Yeah.
I mean, it is real. So the things we're going to do on the regulatory front are, to me, as exciting as what we're going to do with legislation.
Yeah, if the purge of the deep state and the entrenched bureaucracy in Washington occurs the way we hope it will, there will be it'll be a good time to be a realtor in the D.C. area, I think, here in the next 6 months or so. But getting back to the border, because, you know, obviously, Tom Homan was named yesterday to be the border czar, and I would hate to be any border patrol agent who had to receive a dressing down from that guy. But if there's a bill to be passed, I assume it will be a very clean border bill without Ukraine aid and amnesty and other sort of side notes. Is that a good assumption?
Well, I would hope that. I mean, you know, I'm for single issue bills, up or down votes. American people know what we're doing, but I don't know what the strategy is going to be. We are going to have two reconciliation bills. These are budget bills that don't require 60 votes in the Senate. You can pass with a simple majority, and I imagine that's the vehicle we'll use for tax cuts. It may be that we can use those vehicles for some of these other policies, including border policy and energy policy. I'm just not read in on kind of what the plans are. I know the Speaker and Majority Leader Scalise have had teams working already on what those reconciliation bills will look like. We're going to be ready to go January 6th. Or January 3rd. We're not going to, take 3 months to figure out what our legislation looks like we did in 2017. We're going to be ready to go on day one. But I'm not sure exactly what the strategy is. I'm getting together with the Speaker and the Leader this afternoon, so hopefully I'll be caught up. But I can tell you, we're going to move as quickly as we can. And a lot of this stuff, we may be able to bring Democrats along with us because it's just common sense.
Well, yeah, I think you're going to start to see some of the Democrats fall in line after they kind of got their rear ends whooped and avoiding the border issue. So I think anything coming with the border, I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats kind of jump on board with that. I don't think that would be an issue at all.
I would hope not. And the other issue that's out there, which will have to be addressed, and I don't know the degree to which the House can influence this, but we have a serious debt problem in this country. Just to service our debt, we are in the on the hook for over $1 trillion of debt servicing on a federal debt that has now exceeded, I think, $36 trillion. What is the solution to reversing this runaway spending problem that we have? Because it's a serious problem that could undo any administration, even Donald Trump with his resolve.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, the biggest threat to our national security is our national debt. The fact that, just paying the interest on the debt, just servicing the debt, is going to be more money than we spend on the entire Department of Defense in very short order. I mean, that is terrifying to me. And this is an issue, frankly, I brought up three different times with President Trump in the White House his first term, and he said, "Richard, you're right, but we got to rebuild the military. We'll handle this in the second term." So it's the second term, so I'm going to hold him to it. You know, a big part of it is some of this government efficiency and the waste and the corruption, and that's what Elon Musk apparently is going to be dealing with. But that's really only a third of the spending. I mean, two-thirds of our spending is Social Security, Medicare, other entitlement programs. To say we're going to reform those programs, we're going to save them, because if we do nothing, you know, in just a few years, we're going to have a 25% cut to Social Security, and we can't allow that to happen. So we want to save those programs and preserve them, but we've got to reform them to do that. And so if we don't have the courage to address that, then we're just kind of whistling past the graveyard by trying to cut the other one-third of spending.
Well, there's so much inefficiency in the operation of Medicare and Medicaid. I mean, you know, to say that they are need to be reformed is not the same as saying we're going to cut entitlements. And I think sometimes, you know, that's misrepresented, certainly by the media, that any attempts to even examine how to restore efficiency to these entitlements is dismissed as, you know, inhuman. And I just think that's untrue, right? Is that a correct assumption?
You're exactly right. You know, the Democrats love to play scare tactics. I mean, but just look at the last election. I mean, their whole campaign was, you know, if you vote for Donald Trump, you'll never get to vote again because he'll destroy democracy. You know, he's Hitler. I mean, all these crazy lies they told. Every ad they ran against a Republican run for House was a lie, cookie cutter ad, saying they're going to take your rights away. And the American people didn't buy it. And so that's good news. And so I think the American people are ready for us to level with them and say, look, here's the reality. If we do nothing, you're going to get a 25% cut for Social Security. And I think the American people can handle it. I hope we'll have enough honest Democrats to work with us on it. But, I mean, the bottom line is if we don't address this, our children and grandchildren are going to have a lower standard of living. They're going to have less freedom. And shame on us.
Speaking of some of the Democrat lies that have kind of circulated during the election, one of them being that President Trump is going to prosecute some of his political opponents. Jim Jordan.
Isn't that rich?
Was, yeah, I know. Jim Jordan went on CNN's State of the Union with Dana Bash on Sunday and was asked directly whether he believes President Trump will prosecute him. And Jim Jordan said, you know, he's against any kind of retribution, you know, especially because of how Donald Trump was, you know, attacked, you know, both in New York and Georgia and even with Jack Smith there. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's something that he's going to possibly pursue, or is it just kind of him bluffing like he did back in 2016 about locking up Hillary?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is just another one of those lies about Donald Trump, that he has an enemies list, that he's, you know, he's this vindictive person. Anybody that knows Donald Trump knows he's the least vindictive person I've ever met. I mean, look at the people that, you know, he's fired and then given a second chance and then come back and work for him. I mean, just look at how loyal people are to him that have worked for him in the past. I mean, this man is one of the most forgiving people I've ever met and is very, very laser-focused. Every conversation I've had with him in the last 2 years is about the American people and what they're going through and what his responsibility to help the American people. I mean, that is his focus. Now, are there people that have broken the law? Are there people that have come after Donald Trump and used the law to try to punish a political enemy? Yes. Do those people deserve to be looked at and see if they broke the law? Absolutely. But that's not a vindication tour. That's just bringing justice. And I think the American people are ready to see that. But you know, Donald Trump is not on a, you know, his entire focus is on the American people and how can he make their lives better. And it's going to be an exciting 4 years.
An important part of your constituency is Fort Bragg and our military, active duty military here in Moore County. What is your sense of the rank and file in the military here in terms of our spending on support for Ukraine, our military readiness, the perception that at the senior levels of our military there is a more of a commitment to woke than traditional objectives. Is there a reckoning coming? I mean, is our military going to have to be reformed and restored to its former greatness?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. I would say, first of all, that there are politicians at the Pentagon who have taken us in the wrong direction. But when it comes to the patriots, the men and women that serve at Fort Bragg, you know, I don't really talk politics with them because I don't want to put them in that tough spot. But I can tell you, those folks are patriots who signed up to serve their country and want to do their jobs, and they don't want to be distracted by all this other stuff. And I think, you know, all the wokeness and the witch hunts and the vaccine mandates and all the garbage that they've had to deal with over the last 4 years, I think they'll be relieved to know that that is over. And our entire focus now is, how do we build the greatest fighting force in the world? How do we equip them with the best technology and the best equipment? How do we get them the best training? And then how do we go project strength in the world so they don't have to fight in wars? You know, I think that is the priority, and that will be the focus under President Donald Trump. You mentioned Mike Waltz is going to be the new National Security Advisor. Mike Waltz is a Green Beret, and so I'm thrilled to have someone who understands my constituents at Fort Bragg and their families and what they're going through, who'll be in a senior leadership post with President Trump. I'm very anxious to see who he's going to select for Secretary of Defense. I think that's going to be real important, and that person, you know, needs to be focused on what the priorities are. You know, how do we build the most lethal force in the world, give them the best equipment and training, so that we can avoid fighting wars, and so that if we ever need to get involved in a conflict, that it will not be a fair fight, that we will prevail with the least amount of casualties possible. I mean, that is the mission. Not all this other garbage that we've had to deal with for the last 4 years.
One question. I kind of saw a report yesterday that Senator Elizabeth Warren is already coming out saying that Donald Trump is breaking the law by not signing some document. And then also read a little bit further in that Congressman Jamie Raskin has sent a letter to both Trump and Vance back in October on the 23rd about not signing an MOU. Can you kind of explain a little bit about what that is and if it's even a talking point at all? But Raskin's name has been kind of popping up again here recently with some of his stuff about trying to block Trump from actually taking office.
Certification, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do something that politicians normally don't do and say, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I will definitely look into that. But, you know, Elizabeth Warren doesn't have a lot of credibility with me, and Jamie Raskin's an absolute clown. I mean, he's the guy that led the one-day impeachment.
Right.
I mean, I don't care if, you know, what law you broke. You deserve more due process than one day.
Right.
So Jamie Raskin's a clown, and he's going to do what he's going to do. He'll be the ranking Republican on the Oversight Committee, so he will attempt to be a thorn in the side of President Trump for the next 2 years. But yeah, I'm not sure what the MOU he's talking about.
Memorandum
of understanding is a legal document, but I don't know which topic he's talking about.
Yeah, it the report didn't really clarify much, and that's why I was wondering if you had any kind of idea on what it was, because it had made a news cycle, and you know, obviously it probably wasn't all that important because it didn't really go too far into it. There were some other reports that the House Republicans are gathering together to kind of discuss some internal things so that we don't run into a situation again like what we had with Speaker Kevin McCarthy, you know, where it only takes one person to stand up and put a motion to vacate. Any discussion on that? Anything you can talk about on that?
Sure. So this week we're organizing for the new Congress. So all the new members who were just elected will be here. We've got five freshmen from North Carolina. I'll be calling them the Fab Five. They're all in town, and it's going to be exciting to see all them here. But we'll be meeting as a Republican conference in the House tomorrow morning for a candidate forum. I'm going to run for NRCC chairman again, the fifth position in leadership, so far unopposed. And then on Wednesday afternoon, we'll have our election for our leadership. And once we get past that on Thursday, we're going to have a forum that in the morning to discuss changes to our rules of the Republican conference. So how do we govern ourselves? And there'll be a lot of discussion about that motion to vacate and other rules changes. And then on Thursday afternoon, we'll approve a set of rules. So that'll all come to a head on Thursday afternoon. I'm not sure, you know, what the proposals are or where that's going to go. But I, for one, think having a motion to vacate that can be put in place by just a handful of members is a mistake. You know, there ought to be a way to address a speaker who breaks the law or you know, needs to be replaced. But it ought to be a higher threshold than just a handful of members. So I would like to see a change to the rules. I think, you know, I've gone on record saying I think what happened to Kevin McCarthy was a travesty. It certainly was, you know, replacing your leader in the middle of a election or a cycle like that was a huge distraction. It was politically, it was devastating for us. Speaker Mike Johnson has come in and exceeded everyone's expectations, though. I mean, you know, thank the Lord, I think his hand was on Mike Johnson becoming speaker, and you know, Mike raised record amounts of money, raised over $300 million for our team, $27 million directly for the NRCC. But also just through the strength of his character, was able to bring us together time and time again to pass important legislation. So I think Speaker Johnson has earned another term as speaker, but I think he also ought to be able to serve without having that sort of Damocles above his head that only a handful of members can bring about a vote that, you know, they can join with the Democrats to replace him. I think that'd be a mistake.
Well, we got about just a minute left here, Congressman. So you kind of answered my next question was, do you think Mike Johnson is going to be up for speaker again in this next term?
Yes, I think he'll be elected tomorrow afternoon. Right now, I think he's running unopposed, and I think he certainly earned it. I plan to vote for him and advocate strongly that he remain as our speaker.
Great.
We thank you very much for joining us, Richard, and we'll be watching all of you guys very closely, and please don't fritter away the first 100 days, and let's get things done, and let's get our country back on track. There's a lot of work to do, and we're thankful that we have Republicans who have the resolve to get it done. So thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I believe God's not done with America yet. And I want to say happy birthday to my friend Penny Terry.
Well, thank you for that. Well, that's going to do it. Your weather is up next.